Hey y'all, y'all know here at the Millennial Project Manager Podcast, before we plan, we pray. And this week, we are going to be talking about retreats, honey. But before we do, we're going to tap into this scripture. It is coming from Isaiah 41 and 10, and it says to fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. This is so good and so timely. So Lord, we just thank you for the vision, God. We thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for just being in every single detail in our planning, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you even remove any guilt, any overwhelm, any anxiety, any stress that we've had while planning in previous years, or even just currently if we are experiencing any of those things, Lord. Lord, just remind us that you are with us, Lord. Let us go boldly and confidently and obediently into the things that you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, y'all, let's get into this episode. Hey, Project Planning Betty, welcome back. So today we're going to be talking about retreat planning mistakes and how to avoid them and what you really should be doing. So if you've ever thought about hosting a retreat, or you've already done one, or you've done two, it's a whole experience. And trust me, I love hosting retreats. I've planned four, hosted two in the making. So there's something really special about bringing people together for an intentional transformative experience. But listen, I've made some mistakes along the way, and I don't want you out here stressing over details that could have been avoided. So today I'm giving you the real tea on the biggest retreat planning mistakes and what to do instead. So grab your notebook, sis, because we're going to get into it. So mistake one, not budgeting correctly. Let me tell you, if you don't plan your retreat budget right, you will be out here shook, okay, when the invoices start rolling in. And you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, I'll just book the venue and figure it out later. No, girl, you are wrong. No. When I planned my first retreat, I underestimated how much like the little details will add up, like just transportation, the welcome gifts, you know, taxes, just different like little things. And I really didn't make a profit when I planned my first retreat. And if I did, I definitely did not see it. Okay. So what you should do instead is create a detailed cost breakdown before you book anything, like the venue rental deposit, final payment, taxes, fees, resort fees, all the things, catering and meals. Think about where you're hosting the retreat, so their taxes may look different. Factor in like tips. If you are going to have guest speakers at your retreat, make sure you understand what their fees are as well. Transportation. If you are going to be, so here's what I did. My first retreat, I actually, from the airport to the house, I booked a car. So I already knew how much it was. Like I booked a private service. But think about if that's in your budget. Can you book a private service, or do you need to get a ride share? And y'all know ride shares be costing different rates at different times. So think about that if you are going to provide transportation. But I'll get back. I'm gonna swing back to the transportation. Retreat swag. If you're giving gifts, I love giving gifts. Let me tell y'all, I be paying out of my own pocket because, listen, I love to give gifts. If you are marketing your retreat outside of your community, thank God for me, I just market within my community. And so I haven't had to spend money on ads and different things, but I'm pretty sure soon and very soon, I will be doing that. And then an emergency buffer, because something will pop up. You just never know. So always just have some petty cash, okay? But even just doing all of this helps your attendees as well. I see a lot of people not really giving out the information in enough time, and people just don't know what to expect. Especially when I plan my first retreat, I'm pretty detailed. I like to know what's going on, so I'm sure my participants like to know what's going on too. But when I went international, I went above and beyond. Like I printed out everything. I had a digital like website thingy that I could give them, because people want to know. I want them to know, like, hey, this is included, this is not included, this is the resort fee, you need a credit card to put a hold on this, you don't need a credit card, just all of those details. And I specifically remember one of the attendees said, you thought of every detail. I mean, I'm a project manager, why would I not think of every detail? But seriously though, y'all gotta start thinking about the details. And if you don't know how to think about the details, hire me, I got you. So please, so sis, please, please, please price your retreat correctly, so you're actually making money and you're not just covering costs. You should be profiting as well. If that's your thing, I will also say my first retreat, I wasn't necessarily looking for a profit. Even the second retreat, I did get a profit, not much because I just put it right back into the business. But if you're looking to profit, you need to make sure you price things and then think about the time frame that you're going and all of the things. But again, if y'all need help with that, just go ahead and book me. Details will be in the show notes. Mistake two, overloading the schedule. This is for my type A planners, okay? I get it. You want your attendees to get all the value from your retreat. You want them to leave transformed, filled up, and renewed. You want them to feel like they got their money's worth. But if the schedule is packed from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., your guests gonna be tired instead of feeling refreshed. I definitely made this mistake with, I want to say, the first retreat, the second retreat, and not so much. We pivoted a little bit, but thinking more is more impact. Like, oh, if I do more, it's going to be more impact. But people really be burnt out by day two, like for real. So I will say, like, my first retreat, I did not know the Ritz-Carlton was going to be that nice. Like, I knew it was going to be nice, but I didn't expect it to be that nice. And so we were at the Ritz and we could stay there for like the day and we had dinner and everybody was chilling. And I was like, dang, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just kind of want to stay here. But had I thought about that, I wouldn't have had dinner on that day. You know what I'm saying? Per se, I would have done dinner, let's just say the last day, and maybe did brunch the morning before. Like, I would have changed some things around or just asked some stuff, to be honest. But when I did the second retreat, I learned from the first retreat. And so we did have a spa day. And I want to say, did we do anything after spa day? Or spa day may have been on the last day. Like, I can't fully remember, but I just kind of learned, you know, I kind of spaced things out. There was a day where people did excursions, but then the weather was going to be kind of crappy. So we didn't. So we had time. I'll put it like that. But the next retreat I'm planning, I heard the ladies clearly. So we just have a day where we're doing nothing. Do whatever you want to do. And I'm not saying that people come to the retreats and they have to do everything. Listen, everything is optional, but you still want to leave intentional space for rest and reflection. Listen, I don't know about y'all, but I'm an auntie. I need a nap. So make sure you are leaving space for rest and reflection. Add pockets of free time for guests to explore, journal, breathe, because most of my retreats are for moms. So girl, we trying to get some quiet time up in there. And then consider adding optional morning or evening sessions instead of back-to-back activities. So maybe in the morning you're doing something, but then you don't do something like dinner until the evening, okay? And then y'all got to realize that the most powerful moments of a retreat happen in the quiet, when y'all just chilling, when we're just having time to be. Like, I actually went on a retreat and it was like that. It was just time. Like, some of the ladies went out, I stayed behind, and I knew God. I just felt like God wanted me to stay behind and get rest during that retreat. And I will say that God was speaking to me in ways that I didn't even plan for. Like, he wanted me to rest. Okay, mistake number three, not marketing your retreat early enough. So again, I have had the pleasure of being able to market within my community. So start promoting your retreat early. I've seen so many people just wait too long to start marketing. And this is just not even for retreats, but marketing in general. They think people gonna book last minute. Girl, no, they won't. We need some time. Okay, we need time. Listen, that might be your ministry, but it ain't mine. I need time to budget. I need time to plan travel and childcare. I need to consult with my husband and my mom to make sure they can handle the kids. And I need to be like, okay, this is an investment. So, you know, I need to dig into this. I need to see if this is something I want to do. For my retreats, I like to let the women know at least 12 to 15 months in advance, because you need to start getting your head wrapped around it, right? So for my 2026 retreat, we didn't do anything in 2025. Because we went international in 2024 and I just wanted to give them kind of a break. And so I started marketing the retreat. I think I want to say it is like 15 months in advance, because I'm like, okay, y'all, this is coming. This is what we're doing. So you have plenty of time to get all of those things together. I want to give you time to really pay on your retreat. I want to give you time to pay on your retreat. Okay. I'll leave it at that. So what you should do instead, you should start marketing your retreat. If you know your community, or if it's outside the community, I would recommend at least 9 to 12 months. I know my people, so the more time, the better, okay? Use a waitlist strategy to build excitement before opening. I did not have to do that. They just kind of knew that it was coming. I told them that it was coming. You can even offer early, if you're doing this like outside your community, you can even offer early bird pricing to encourage early signups. So I did do this when I want to say the second retreat when we were doing a VIP. So I planned a VIP day. So that entailed, I think, I was going to do a private dinner, but the people never got back to me. So what we did instead was I rented a catamaran for, I want to say like 4 hours. And so we were on the catamaran. That was the VIP day. They also got gift bags. But the crazy thing is, okay, it was supposed to be a VIP day. So it was only supposed to be for the VIP participants. We were going to do, you know, XYZ together. Y'all, everybody ended up being VIP. So we just hung out together. Let me just say that. But I did offer an incentive that if they did purchase their upgrade to VIP, they got entered into a raffle. And I ended up paying for someone's massage. That was the raffle. Okay. So you can do things like that. And also, y'all know social proof. So sharing behind the scenes content on social media give people a taste of what they'll see and experience and feel and all the things. Honestly speaking, y'all, the earlier you start, the more momentum you build and the easier it will be to fill your spots. But not only that, it takes the stress off of you. Plan early. It's never too early to plan. And again, if you're not a planner, if you're like, I'm overwhelmed, this is my first, girl, show me the way. Y'all, just book with me, okay? I got you. So I just want y'all to know retreat planning is a whole process. But if you avoid these mistakes, you will save yourself some stress. It's other things that I'm sure you can avoid, but these are some of the things that I had come up against. So you want to save yourself stress and coins. And even when you're doing gifts, you want to get them as early as possible. I usually have my gifts in hand within like 4 to 5 months, because I want to make sure, like, as soon as I know who's coming, them deposits is secured and things are filled. I have a set number. So if it's 8 people, I already know I'm ordering 8 things. But if it's like personalized, then because I can do a lot of the things myself, I can afford to wait 4 weeks before and do it. You know, like, it's fine for me to do that. But if you have to outsource, I don't want you doing nothing within like the month of that retreat except packing your clothes, period. So I want y'all to tell me, have you planned a retreat before? Are you thinking about hosting one? Y'all know y'all can DM me over on Instagram at Whitney the Millennial PM and let's talk about it. I definitely would love to hear what you have going on. And also, if this episode helped you in any way, make sure y'all subscribe and leave a review. Until next time, y'all have an amazing day and I will chat with y'all on the next episode. Hey girl, I hope you enjoyed this episode, but I got something for you real quick. If you feel like you've been running your business like a one-woman circus, feeling all stretched thin and wondering how you're supposed to scale without losing your mind, listen, I created the Solopreneur CEO Blueprint, okay? I'm giving you the exact system, strategies, and mindset shifts to help you run your business like a CEO and not like an overworked employee that has just been offered a pizza party. So we are going to begin this thing in April, but what I need you to do is go to the show notes, click the link so that you can be the first to know when class is in session. Have an amazing day.